Hey guys, welcome back to the Writer's Lens. This is Josh J.C. Ofelto, and this is going to be part two of my conversation with Brian Del Turco, the owner-operator over at Life Voice Quest, the owner-operator of Jesus Smart, the podcast, and one half of the talented duo over at Substance TV. Brian and I were connected via Substance TV podcast earlier this year in 2018, where they were discussing creativity, and I was asked to be a guest on there, so that was awesome, and that was the first time I met Brian. So since then, Brian and I have struck up a relationship, a creative partnership of sorts. Brian has joined my writers consortium here in Cleveland, and ever since then, we've just become better and better friends. So this is going to be part two of our conversation, where we're dialoguing about creativity and the publishing environment, since Brian is, as I said, he's the owner-operator of Life Voice Quest, which is for emerging voices, specifically for independent publishing platforms. And that's a mouthful, but all things considered, Brian is out there to help emerging authors, emerging writers, people that are trying to get their content out there. And in this particular part of the interview that I had with Brian, Brian and I go a little bit personal on this. We start talking about the possible ramifications of being a creative and having a family life. So if you're someone who's listening and doesn't have a spouse or kids, don't worry. This is still good wisdom to take with you. By no means do I claim to be a marriage expert or the fatherly expert, but I'm in the throes of it, as is Brian. And Brian is a few years ahead of me. I won't say how many, but you can tell from his voice that he does have some good wisdom to share as far as being a creative person and questing after your voice and all the things that come with part of the creative process and balancing that with having a wife and, from what I understand, four daughters. So God bless him. So without further ado, this is the second half of my conversation with Brian Del Turco. Enjoy.
You have to be like the lead point person on it. So owning it, you know, focusing like a laser. You know, I noticed that your podcast episode for this week deals with distraction, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, one of our greatest enemies is distraction. And, you know, frankly, the digital revolution, for all of its potential and power, also brings us a whole lot of distraction. So we got to be like ruthless and focused like a laser, you know, allocate blocks of time, like time blocking. And if you write better in the morning, which most people do, then it probably just means we have to start earlier and write in the morning.
Absolutely.
Using blocks of time that we sort of guard ruthlessly, and we're able to balance it with our marriage and our family and our work and responsibilities that we have. Also, work ethic. Entrepreneurial, a successful entrepreneur has to have a strong work ethic. It just takes a lot of hard work. And it's been said that emotional work, like creative work, is emotional work, is harder than physical work. It's more energy, you know, sapping, and it's you know, true emotional work, in a sense, is harder than physical work. So, you know, charisma is another thing. You know, there's, you know, charisma is power. There's personal qualities that increase our influence, you know, how we communicate, emotional intelligence. You know, we have to put some personality into it, you know.
Does this and you know, oh, just you want to finish your thought, you can. I just had something I was going to jump in there with.
Yeah, go ahead. That's it about charisma. Yeah, that's one that I have to work on myself, because I'm an introvert. You know, I can be flat on the outside, and I don't know how flat I look or feel to other people. There's a lot going on the inside, you know. But
I just thought of you literally as flat. That's what I thought when you said that at the end.
Did you? Okay, see?
Not in a metaphorical sense. I thought of it in literal sense, but
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't realize. So sometimes I'll see a photo of myself, and I'm thinking, do I look like that? Is that the low energy I'm projecting off of my face and body right there? I know on the inside it feels like a higher voltage than what I look like right there. But anyway, you know, we have to become like conscious of charisma, like as we become communicators and just people of presence, you know.
Do you think, and to that point, and that was all, those are all really good points, especially for the 21st century writer. Because the idea of being an entrepreneur and an author kind of have to go hand in hand now if you are going to be successful. And to that point, does that mean that sort of the archaic version of the writer is a dead, gone thing? You know, like the Henry David Thoreaus, you know, the Faulkners, or the, you know, the guy, you know, the guys that hung out in the, you know, in the cabin, like you were saying, for 6 months. Like, these types of writers cannot exist in this new digital age. They just can't.
You know, that's a great word, archaic. I just see that as relating to that. Yeah, I mean, I think so. If you're archaic and holed up in some silo somewhere in this age, the digital revolution, right, mm-hmm. where there's so much more content, so much more noise, along with all of the so much more opportunity that's available to us,
mm-hmm.
you'll probably be lost forever. You know, I mean, I just feel that season is gone.
Mm-hmm. And do you, and just to follow up on that, and this is just, I'm asking for your opinion, does that make it that much more difficult in terms of recognizing real talent? Because in the social media space, you know as much as I do that charisma sometimes overrides competency.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, does it make it even more difficult for someone who maybe their charisma, like you were saying, maybe it isn't that great as far as a social media presence, but man, their message just rocks, and it could probably be so easy to get frustrated knowing that you probably have a really good message, but man, it's like if one more Kardashian tweets over top of what I have to say, you know, I'm going to lose my mind, right?
I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm gonna buy a gun. Something's gonna happen. No, okay. But when I think of charisma, I just want to put the word quality in front of it, like quality charisma, not like shallow charisma or you know, trite or ridiculous or meaningless charisma. I want it to be quality charisma. I mean, if you think of a great leader like Martin Luther King. Or, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. or, I mean, they carried charisma, they carried presence, you know, mm-hmm. they were powerful, they were authoritative, and they were excellent communicators, and, you know, so they were influencers. So, yeah, so like the social media space, I our reach may not be as big. I think we have to stick with quality and but at the same time we may need to learn a little bit about maybe some branding a little bit. I hate that. I'm so slow to wade into like branding waters or you know, like images and colors and being consistent with that and creating like a signature look that people can remember. I'm frankly I'm pathetic at it myself personally, but my friend Jason Howard, who's excellent at it, is very, very stimulating when you see what he can do and talk with him about these things. But that's why we need each other. You know, mm-hmm. we need like a collective of creatives to, you know, sharpen each other up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, charisma. And then, you know, we have to have selling acumen. This is another thing because writers hate selling. In fact, everybody hates selling mostly. But, you know, the last thing a writer wants to do is sell something. They just want to create. Let somebody else sell it. But
mm-hmm.
yes, there's people that have, you know, sullied the word about selling, you know, but commerce is good. It's right. It's how things work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the value you're bringing is worth it. It needs to be sold.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it is so weird when you think about it because of I just think of the age old stereotypes of the author, the person who's so much of an invalid that the thought of putting them, you know, behind a table and putting a stack of books out and then asking them to engage people and say, hey, you really should read my book. It's a great idea. You know, it's just like, it doesn't jive. You know, it just doesn't seem fluid at all. But in today's, like we've been talking about, today's digital revolution, it's a must. Like, you have to be able to be willing to put yourself to the hazard, to be rejected sometimes, to be a little more outgoing, a little bit more outside the box. But to your point about, you know, yours and Jason's relationship, the community aspect of creativity is even more imperative now than ever. You know, being able to lean on some folks that not only share your sort of creative drive, but mm-hmm. can even champion a lot of the things that you're trying to do by kind of rounding you out a bit or making you think a little bit about some of the things that you haven't been thinking about.
That's right.
You know, the larger branding and marketing structures that you should be thinking about, like, okay, are the holidays a good time for me to launch this book? Is it not a good idea? You know, what kind of theme am I looking for? Is the flow of my work good? I need a proofreader who I can trust that can read this thing, but I also need someone who can look at the cover and give me honest feedback as whether or not it's aesthetically pleasing. Because I think you and I both know that, you know, we can triple check, you know, images, we can triple check our own work, we can read our work 10 times over and still not be completely at peace with it. But if a credible friend or someone, not even, it doesn't have to be a friend, it can be a completely professional relationship, but someone that we know we can give this to, and they look at it and go, it's either crap or it's good, and you need to look at it again or you don't. And that, having those kinds of folks around you is completely different. It's a completely different mentality than what it was 30 years ago, I'm in a silo. I have my team of publishers and agents, but I might see them twice a year. I might never see them actually. You know, I might, they might treat me to a dinner when I come out to their publishing house on the East or the West Coast, and that's it. Whereas, you know, I think the collaborative efforts are just
right. We need that peer critique, and there's sort of, I think ideally, I think there's sort of a rhythm and a cadence to it, because a lot of our creative work is done individually. It's like we need the privacy to do the creative work, but then we just can't stay private. We have to engage others. We have to get communal about it. So we need like the individual quiet times of creative work. But then we need that rhythm and that cadence where we then engage others as well. Mm-hmm. And we find out that it is crap, and then we go back. No, we get insights, we get ideas, we brainstorm, we stretch our thinking. It's, you know, the Bible has a verse in it that says that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, one woman sharpens another. Mm-hmm. So we kind of need that rhythm and that cadence, don't you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is all about striking that healthy balance of I'm working, you know, on my own with this, but I'm also not being so much in a vacuum all the time that I'm not thinking about other people perhaps getting a handle on this. And that's such a difficult thing to do when, you know, in instances of if you're married, or if you're married and you have kids and you have other responsibilities going on. Just that work-life balance is so difficult. When you have a passion project, it's very easy to get a little bit mixed up in terms of how much time you're giving to it, or mm-hmm. you know, how you're engaging with your creative community.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, Joshua, this mm-hmm. balance, you know, between being a creative entrepreneurial type, and then we're also, you know, I have a spouse, I have four daughters, you know, we got some cats here.
Well, God bless you.
We have other. I wrote a little piece off to share it with you. It's how I surf the estrogen waves in my domain. Okay, it's a metaphor from surfing, and there's some things about getting up on the board and balance and riding in front of the wave. It's pretty funny, but
I'm already laughing about it. I think it's great.
No, it's hilarious, and people read it. They're aghast and laughing at the same time. They can't. frankly, though, they to look at it from the outside, like four daughters, it's like, how are you even alive? But you know what? I don't know. There's some kind of a grace on me. It's not anywhere near like what you think it is, but it's still a funny topic. But, you know, and I think that if you are a creative and you're entrepreneurial and there's this voltage in you, you know, that has to produce that stuff, somehow we do have to create a lifestyle where we are able to do it within reason, without it hurting or taking away from our significant relationships or significant mm-hmm. responsibilities that we have. In fact, my thought is that if we can, and I think it is possible to do, but that if we do strike that rhythm and that balance, that we're actually happier, we're more present in our relationships, mm-hmm. you know, because we're not frustrated, we don't feel pent up. You see what I'm saying here? So yeah. And then with that, if we could, even with our spouse, maybe our spouse is creative like we are. I think everybody's creative in some way, but our spouse may not be creative in the same way that we are. But even if we can pull them in a little bit alongside of maybe, you know, being involved a little bit on mission together with it, mm-hmm. or even our children, just awareness and consciousness of what we're working on, maybe asking them for some input on something, or, you know, how they would, you know, my daughters can, you know, can give me great ideas about, like, what I wear before I walk out the house. Or
yeah, that's the invaluable part of riding the estrogen waves.
There you go. I've been written up numerous times, man.
Like, Dad, you're really going to wear that? I'm not going to be seen with you then if you're going to wear that out there.
By the slightest doubt, I'll bring it up, and, man, I get written up big time. But,
that's excellent. That is excellent, man.
Yeah, I get a little bit, maybe if we can, you know, make it a little bit of a family lifestyle thing.
Yeah, and I think it ultimately can become that, and in some ways should, if you're really following this idea that your voice matters out there, and it, you know, bringing people into it that are close to you. I mean, my wife and I are still learning this balancing act. You know, tomorrow is actually going to be our anniversary. We've been married 4 years, By no means are we marriage experts. Okay, you know.
By no means am I going to work on my book tomorrow. That would be a good idea.
Right. Exactly. Right. Happy anniversary, honey. I will be in the workman's office for the next 4 hours, and I will not be coming out until this book is done. Yeah, that will not go over well. So the whole idea then is, like, my wife. Just she and I have learned each other in ways of, like, we have different passions and things that we want to pursue, and we give each other a little bit of space for that. But at the same time, we still try to come back together at the end of the day and engage with one another, not to the point of being overwhelming, but just in a sense of, like, how's it going, right? And, you know, how's your heart with the things that you're doing? I think that's probably the one question that I ask my wife, you know, like, how is your heart doing with these, you know, whatever's going on? I mean, because she's at home with our kids mostly, so I know her heart is definitely very tried at the end of most days, you know, being at home with the kids when they're this young. But just you kind of engaging at that level, because, again, as a creative, it is heart level things that you're dealing with ultimately. I mean, it's this innate desire to kind of bring forth something, give birth to something. And so, you know, my wife is very much into sewing. You know, she wants to sew and craft and things like that. And I have no interest in that at all myself doing it. But I see her kind of get that glowy look in her eyes when she can work on something like building a dress or making something like that she really enjoys. And if I'm kind of stoking the fires of her heart with that, then that, like you were saying earlier, just kind of grows life within our marriage. And you should be a bit happier as a couple, because you're encouraging those sort of heart desires. You know, you're encouraging sort of that outgrowth from within.
Yeah. So when your wife is doing those things, it probably brings, like, energy. She probably feels increased energy and joy, right?
Yeah, and it's as much as just, like, checking in. You know, like, have you gotten around to that thing lately? Are you going to be, you know, do you want some space this weekend? Which reminds me, with our anniversary coming up, I probably should be engaging this all the more so. So I should be asking.
Yeah. You want to score big points on those.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I believe that marriage is like a fine wine, and the longer you keep growing, man, the better it gets. It's unbelievable. It truly is like a fine wine that way. But
it's encouraging. It's encouraging.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, we have to fight for each other's dreams. You know, show interest in each other's creative pursuits. And it may sort of be like a Venn diagram, you know, with that sweet spot in the middle. So there may be a little part there where it overlaps, where there's, like, some commonality or some coming alongside of a project or some dialogue about it, some feedback, you know. So there's some common pursuit of it there. But then there's other parts, because we are individuals and we have other interests and creative pursuits. But you know, championing those interests and supporting them. So I just would like to encourage this idea of the balance of being a creative entrepreneurial type within, like, marriage and family life and other responsibilities. I think it's available. I think that healthy balance is there, and there's a smart way to approach it, I think.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, that's that too. And I kind of wanted to get one more idea out there before we kind of move past this was just the, like I was saying, how my wife is really into sewing and, you know, just making dresses or things of that nature or you know, little kids outfits like for our kids, like she wants to do stuff like that. But when it comes to my writing, I mean, she's not really into writing at all, period. You know, she just has no interest. And the thing that's funny about it, though, is that I could get stuck on something, and I might be stuck on it for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then I'll just kick myself and say, why don't I just ask Ashley, like, what she thinks of this idea? Mm-hmm. And literally within 10 seconds, she'll be like, why don't you just do this? And I go, that makes so much sense. Why didn't I ask you earlier? It's just that 10,000-foot view that gets you out of that, you know, like, again, that old archaic writer's stereotype of being in your log cabin and thinking you have to just gut it out all by yourself with no distraction, no noise, anything, right? Like, it's just you and you and the words that are somehow divinely being downloaded, right? Like
it's very heroic, you know. I mean, it's almost otherworldly, you know. But it's just not so much. It's really not real. I mean, there may be a few anecdotal examples, you know, of who was it, Walden by his pond or something, or you know. But I don't think those are. It was a different age for one thing. But I don't think those are. Normative or should be used as templates. I think that I think that current experience today would tell us that it's interesting you say that about Ashley, because you know I think that a husband and a wife as they're growing in their union, in their relationship, they're sort of uniquely qualified and empowered to speak into each other's lives. And they may have angles and insights and ways of seeing things that we really can't get from anyone else. It's amazing. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You can feel that when that kicks in a little bit. There's like a little gear that kicks in, and you probably felt that when she gave you that thought, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Pulling them in a little bit, like my wife, one of her main interests and pursuits is she's into the planner movement. You know this thing with planners. Hmm. It's ginormous, this movement.
Huh.
It's an underground iceberg. You cannot believe the planners and the groups and the different planners that are coming out. I mean, it's a constant evolving, churning space, you know, different concepts, different ideas, the bullet planner, you know, different things. And she's into that like nobody's business, you know. So when she pulls out her iPad and she's surfing that stuff and looking at that stuff, there's like this glow coming off of her. I like planners, I like journaling, but I'm not into like that. So you know.
Mm-hmm. But it's good to kind of
run with it.
Yeah, and also for you to recognize it, that is something that does give her life as well. And I feel that kind of being the common vein throughout a lot of what we've been talking about, you know, just the voice questing, finding our voices, inviting other people into that, trying to, you know, being authentic, being honest with our messages, and in the same sense, not having delusions of grandeur, and being held accountable by our creative communities, being held accountable, I think, by great men such as yourself, Brian, who have programs and who have the skill sets like with Life Voice that you've been doing, man. So I'm really proud of you for doing that and just really following this sort of passion,
labor of love. We're all growing and learning and developing and questing and pursuing things. But I do agree with you that there's power in clustering, there's power in creative collectives. You know, I know it was a grand example, a grand scale, but what was that group called? The Inklings with, you know, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. And I think they met weekly. They probably pulled out their pipes and met in some British pub or something. But I think Tolkien or Lewis or both said, I think there were four of them, and said that they would have never, over their lifetime, created what they created without that group. Mm-hmm. It was that strong of a... and influence in their lives.
Yeah, there was a lot of synergy happening between those men.
Yeah.
As far as just being able to bounce ideas off one another, collaborate a little bit. I mean, you just see how through that kind of community, more things can be birthed than you ever thought possible. So just really, really good stuff there. So this is all really good stuff, Brian. I kind of want to bring this in for a landing here, just on these topics and whatnot. Again, speaking to this, just the digital revolution that we're in, the personal platforms that we're building, the availability of actually having a work-life balance that is also inclusive of our passions. I think that's something we've hit on in this dialogue that is possible for people to get to, if they are willing to engage it and really try to go full force with it. So a lot of really good stuff there. Where can we find you aside from Life Voice Quest? Because you are a really active guy on social media. At least I think you are, because I see you on different podcasts. And so, you know, where can we find more Brian Del Turco?
There's lifevoicequest.com, which is sort of the space we've been talking about here today, involving, you know, publishing. And I would just like to encourage the emerging voice, if you will. Don't think about publishing as just a book, but you publish in various ways. It could be the creation of podcast episodes or video or, you know, articles, blogging. You know, you can use your blog as sort of a workbench and formulate ideas and concepts there, and then off of your workbench you could eventually, you may not see it now or think, oh, I'll never do that. You just don't know, because as you engage content creation, you tend to evolve and grow and expand. So, you know, you could develop other, you know, like online education, who knows, a course, or you might get into podcasting, or you might get into video creation, or, you know, so yeah, just encourage that. But, you know, another project I have been pursuing is JesusSmart.com. And that's the podcast, which I just started at the beginning part of June. And it's you know, something that was sort of gestating in me for maybe a year or so. I just don't know how long it was. But, it, you know, so the idea there is that, you know, Jesus of Nazareth offers ideas about how to approach life, which are like reimagined, and to experience our best life journeys. And so, you know, whether or not one is a Christ follower or not, many people still like Jesus. They like what he said. You know, they like his ideas. They like his thoughts and his love, his empathy, his concern for, you know, community, for women, for children. You know, Jesus really empowered women. That's a big thing in the news today with the Me Too movement and with just a lot of edges that are being pushed on glass ceilings and, you know, the rights of women. And Jesus was in a very, as this little sidebar, very patriarchal society, very toxic, toxic, you know, with that. But he empowered women. So, but people like Jesus. And so, yeah, that is, there's JesusSmart.com. There was, I don't know, I may have 40 or 50 articles there now, you know, of smallish to mid-range size. But then beginning in June as well, there's this podcast, Jesus Smart, the podcast. So been having a blast with that. I sort of underestimated the amount of work that it is, a podcast is, as you would know. but I'm already, I find it very rewarding, and I'm seeing edges that are happening out there in the analog world, in terms of like new contacts, new relationships. I feel those budding things out there with podcasting, and people have said that about hosting your own podcast, is that one of the greatest things it does for you is it it is your world expands.
Yes.
Have you felt that so far already? Have you seen those edges being have you felt those edges being pushed out?
Yeah, I mean, this podcast specifically, I guess just a little bit of sidebar here before we wrap up is, I literally got the idea for it last summer. So it was the summer of 2017. And I don't even know necessarily why I was even thinking about doing it. I think I'd kind of reached a bit of a stagnant place in my writing. and I needed a bit of an outlet with my voice attached to it rather than just my writing.
Yep.
And I felt like blogging was kind of a, again, a bit of a static zone. There wasn't really a lot of movement there. And I'd kind of gone through a bit of personal stuff physically in terms of just a kind of a personal sickness that I'd had, physical sickness for many months that I got over, thank the Lord. And it kind of pushed me in the direction of, well, you know what, you know, with a little bit of a scare that I had there, I was like, you know what, let's do this thing. You know, let's see what I can do with this. And that's birthed the podcast. And in doing so, connected me with a lot of other people that are doing similar things with publishing, trying to get their voices out there. I mean, I've connected with an Iraqi war veteran. I've been in touch with, you know, the Scots, as you know them, who work with Blended Families, which is an amazing ministry. Mm-hmm. I've been able to connect with other fantasy authors and just kind of get a feel for, you know, what are their narratives? You know, like what are their positions as far as, you know, like what themes, what kinds of issues are they tackling in today's market space for fantasy and sci-fi, which is, you know, specifically more what I write about.
Yeah.
So there's so many voices out there that you get to engage with that challenge you, as much as it encourages you to see that other people are both A, seeing some successes, and B, also experiencing some failures. Because another, I think, thing that can happen in the creative space is you can see other people doing well, at least from the social media sense of it. Like, oh, that person got 500 likes on their last post, or they got, 100 retweets or whatever it is, or 1,000 retweets. And you can kind of look inward at yourself or externally even and go, man, I'm just not doing well. You know, I'm not doing.
They're 100 Xing me. They're 1,000.
Yeah, and it's such an easy thing to do. And what I notice is that the more people I talk to, the more they share stories of, man, you know, I remember those days of just sitting there and everything was just like, it was like crickets. You know, nothing was happening, and then this happened, and I get to hear some of those stories, and so you get that full picture that the common public or the consumer doesn't necessarily get.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
That really is what kind of propels me.
It's like the so-called overnight success thing. And it looks like an overnight success, but it's sort of on the long end of a very long process, of due diligence, right? And consistency and showing up and being courageous and consistent.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of imagery in the Bible specifically about seeds, you know, and you know, planting them and having them grow, and the amount of time in between that it takes for a seed to be properly planted in good soil and then actually see it come to fruition. So,
You got tough skin. I'm sorry. I know you got tough skin. I want to encourage you to keep going, like Brian Clark says with Copy Blogger. I think he signs his podcast off, keep going all the time. But keep going, because you're one of the most penetrating thinkers, and you know, and you have a message and content to bring, and you're bringing it through fiction. You may find that you also bring it through nonfiction at some point too, but keep going, Josh, man. You're the kind of voices we need to hear, man.
Appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And you as well, Brian. You as well. Enjoy the discussion greatly, man. Just a lot of good synergy, as we were saying, from the Inklings.
Yeah. I think, well, look how we met through podcasting, you know?
There you go. I mean, I guess
the Substance Podcast, you came and did an episode with us. Mm-hmm. And see, that's how it can work with podcasting or you know, writing, blogging, guest posting, video. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's about being aligned with, you know, the right people, you know, pursuing the right edges. You know, I think we need that in life. Mm-hmm. And I think that content creation, like conversations and content creation, creates like an opportunity. It creates a space to sort of execute on ideas that can move the needle. You know, mm-hmm. we're not just pursuing content for content's sake alone.
Right.
Content is a medium to move the needle on things, right, Josh?
Yep, absolutely.
That's how I feel. It creates the space and the opportunity for us to execute on ideas maybe a new initiative is formed, or some project emerges, or a new company is birthed, a startup happens, or, you know, an audience is created, which by its sheer commitment and maybe even size is just influential, you know. Those are the edges, the horizons out there that I'm hoping for. And through all of that, it's just, you know, I'm coming from a Christian worldview, and so I'm just coming from a worldview of that God has a design, he has a plan, he has a story, and I'm just trying to find my part in it and contribute to that greater narrative. You know, it's messy, it's not perfect. You know, we make mistakes, we get sidetracked, but the general arc of our lives and work, that's what I'm shooting for.
Excellent.
So I know there's people out there that carry the same thing in them, and I know that our conversation that we had, we go into greater depth about these narrative wars on the Jesus Smart podcast. We sat outside of Apple at Crocker Park in Westlake, Ohio, with a couple of Adirondack chairs this past summer, but it's coming, and that a couple episodes are going to be released. And we're just not guesting on each other's podcasts because it's what they do. We just actually feel we have things to talk about.
Yeah, and I think we got a lot more to talk about too. I think there's a lot more to be unpacked even from this conversation regarding content, regarding narrative, you know, just the voice questing that you had talked about. I just love all those terms I'm going to say you coined them, Brian. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I don't care.
In our small world, okay, I coined them in our small world.
I'm gonna run with it, man. You know, just to anyone who's listening, Brian.
Tree stack somewhere that said Godin or Michael Hyde or somebody up there.
If anyone who's listening, Brian Del Turco, the originator of Voice Wars. Okay, he is the
voice
guy.
Wars. That could be. I'm gonna have to Google Voice Wars and see if it's out there. It may not be out there.
Yeah. So, awesome. Awesome stuff, man. Well, we are definitely going to continue this dialogue. I've absolutely loved having you on my podcast for the Resonance.
Yeah, Josh, thank you for the opportunity. I love your podcast, and it needs to be shared, you know, and write reviews. Reviews are very powerful on iTunes, you know, for the audience to write reviews and shows it to more people, see if it's a good fit for them. And, yeah. Subscribe, views, rate.
Same to you, brother. You can find Brian on Substance TV, which is co-hosted by Jason Howard, or you may also find Brian on Jesus Smart, the podcast, which is equally as stimulating for the brain, as I've found. And you're doing almost two episodes a week, which is really impressive. I think it's a very impressive.
Yeah, it's not as impressive as the books. The main episode, which typically drops on Tuesday, is typically an interview format. I just had a couple. Well, it was one interview split into two episodes with Ken Roberts, which was just phenomenal. We sat on the shores of Lake Erie, and he talked about finding your North Star and how this is coming from a Christian perspective, of course, but how Jesus develops all of your life, not just your religious life or your spiritual life, but all of it, and helps you to live all of your story now. Just a great, that's the work that he does. He's a coach and a trainer now, a facilitator, but, I love those conversations. And then the second episode, most weeks it comes out is what I call like a mini-sode. It could be 7 minutes long, maybe 10, 15 at most, but usually 7, 8, 12. And, that's just more of a series that I'm on right now, and it goes, the production of it's a lot quicker, so it's not as impressive as it looks. It's not two full-blown mixed downs of episodes a week, okay?
no, it's really good work, man. You do great work with it, so
thank you, just
keep up the good work in that area, and I will look forward to more dialogue on this soon. So until the next time then, gents and ladies listening here on The Writer's Lens, appreciate the support. Appreciate you listening in. Hope you enjoy this interview with Brian Del Turco. Again, you can find him at lifevoicequest.com, Substance TV, and Jesus Smart, the podcast. Thanks again, Brian, for being on here. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's an honor, Josh. Thank you.
All right, so a great dialogue with Brian, and I look forward to more conversations with him in the future. Brian is definitely an ally, I would say, in the realm of independent publishing. Just his whole heart for trying to help people find their voice is really just very evident in the way that he handles himself, the way that he tries to coach other people, the way he's kind of coached me in some areas. And Brian, even though he is a bit of an expert in many areas of this, he doesn't claim to be in many respects. He calls it just-in-time learning, where you're figuring out things as you go, you're questing, you're on a journey, and you're learning how to do things as you go, but you can always turn back around and tell the person behind you, hey, this is how I did something, and this really worked for me, it might work for you too. So I really give Brian a lot of credit in that area. I wish him the best of luck as he continues to go after this heart's desire of his with Life Voice Quest and his podcasts, of course, with Substance TV alongside Jason Howard, and with his own personal podcast, Jesus Smart, the podcast. Lots of really good information on those podcasts from Jason and Brian on Substance TV, and as well as Brian on his own personal one. So check those out at some point if you can. He's on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. You can find him on Facebook and Twitter as well. Those are my plugs for Mr. Del Turco, if you didn't catch those already. So until next time, guys, I will catch up with you again soon. This is Josh JCL Felto for the Writer's Lens.